Hi, I'm Corey Stiles, and you're listening to Hardwick Sound.
Hey there, welcome to episode number 20 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb Hardwick, and we are recording in the dump with Seth on the mic.
Hey there, how's it going, guys?
That is Seth, the younger brother, and Noah.
Hello.
That is Noah, my elder by 4 years. I'm Caleb. And we have a special guest on the line. All the way from, where are you?
Magnet Cove.
All the way from Magnet Cove, we have, what's your name?
Corey.
Corey, yeah. Seth, this is a friend of yours from school?
Yes, it is.
I'm just meeting Corey now for the first time. Hey, Corey, what's going on? So you're in Magnet Cove.
I am.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How would you describe yourself?
Well, the Myers-Briggs would call me an ENFP, which means I'm pretty upbeat, and I play music.
Wait, hang on. Let's see. I want to break this down. ENFP, extrovert. Yes.
I think intuition, feeling, and perception.
Very interesting. Very good.
I'm trying to figure out, if you ever watched Parks and Rec, it's real similar to like a Leslie Knope type character.
Nope, never watched it.
Yeah.
Super happy all the time.
If you were a VeggieTales character, which one would you be?
Oh, Larry, for sure.
Larry, okay. Yeah. Yep, okay.
Really, I mean, excited, a little scatterbrained, but you know.
Seth, if you were a VeggieTales character, who would you be?
Y'all know me better than, you know, maybe I do compared to VeggieTales. Who am I?
I don't know. Noah would be Alfred.
Archibald?
Archibald. Yeah, Archibald. He's Alfred and Larry Boy, right?
Yeah.
Well, because he's Alfred like in Batman. Yeah. Yeah. Seth, you would be, I don't know. I think I'd be Scooter.
I don't know. You might be Bob.
Scooter? I'm Scooter. No, I don't know. I'm not sure who I'd be. Here we go. Let's see. This is my Jimmy the Gourd impression.
Hi, I'm Jimmy the Gourd.
That's actually really good.
And then what's the other Gourd's name?
Jerry.
Jerry? No. Wait, which one is which? I don't remember.
Yeah, the other one, he kind of sounds like this.
Not quite.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's pretty close, I mean.
Anyway, yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. What, you were saying something about music.
Yeah, I am a musician. That's kind of what I love to do. That and computer work are the two things I'm good at.
Seth, when you last week you introduced this concept of you can get to know somebody by two things. Would you like to try that again?
I did.
Yes, you gave us two parameters for which you can know somebody.
Okay, yes. Okay, so my first question is, what is your favorite kind and style of French fries?
That is a great question. I mean, I love all French fries, but I am very partial to Chick-fil-A's waffle fries.
Oh,
all right, good answer.
You know,
very
that
good
was
answer.
That was the answer of our guests last week. This is very interesting. Okay, the
it's
second
hard
part.
To, like,
sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's hard to find bad French fries, but I have had them before.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's that hard.
One note on the Chick-fil-A waffle fries. We were having this discussion at work today. French fries, if they're not hot, aren't good.
I agree.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And reheating them does not make it better.
Yeah, it's true.
If somebody disagrees on me with this, I will fight them.
If you want cold potatoes, you would eat potato chips, not French fries.
No, potato chips are different because they're crispy.
Yeah, but that's why French fries are crispy when they're hot.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's why you would have potato chips if you wanted them cold.
So, okay, if you take a French fry and it's cold, can you like refry it and get it crispy again?
I don't know how healthy that is.
That sounds like a homeschool science fair project right
this
there.
This is where, if I was, when I was in, you know, junior high, mom would have said, hey, Caleb, you should try that out and write a paper on it. And yeah. And then I probably would have never tried it. Yeah, she would have.
Oh.
So listeners, go try that. Tell us, get back with us and let us know if you can refry a French fry.
Frankie's refried fries.
Or is it a French refry? Is that it?
I mean, if they can refry a bean, I guess you can refry a potato. I mean,
that's a great quote. If you can refry a bean, you can refry a potato.
We're going to put that on our t-shirt line.
I think I'll name the episode something like that.
Okay.
You're one for one. Question number two.
All right.
What is your favorite sports team?
Sports team? I mean, there's obviously the Arkansas Razorbacks, but apart from that, I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I think that works.
That's pretty close. Do you happen to have like a favorite baseball team or?
I guess the Travelers. I'm not really a big baseball guy. But...
Okay. Well,
yeah, minor league.
Hey, we'll give you.
You
the,
know what?
The Kansas
I think
City
I.
Chiefs.
Okay. So last week, our guest, he said. His answers were waffle fries and St. Louis Cardinals. And I guess based on those two pieces of information that he had been homeschooled. Now, your answers are pretty close because in a way, the Chiefs are a nearby football team in the same way that the Cardinals are a nearby baseball team.
Right.
So
both out of Missouri.
I think we've done a pretty, yeah, we're pretty uniform there. And you were homeschooled, is that right?
All my life.
There you go. Yeah. See, I'm telling you, you can define somebody by those two parameters because it works. I don't know why. So, Corey, tell me some about your music.
Well, as of this, when March rolls around, I've been playing guitar for about 7 years, and I also play the bass, ukulele, and I sing. Yesterday, as of this recording, I had my first out-of-church performance at College of the Ouachitas, which was, it was very enjoyable. I was incredibly nervous, but I loved every second of it.
So what did you like play in your set?
Well, I played a little bit, like I played some 80s stuff. I played a little bit of Elvis Presley. I played a couple songs by my favorite band Thrice, some 21 Pilots. I tried to go like as diverse as I could without like getting into like rap, which wouldn't translate to an acoustic set very well.
I don't know about that.
I take that back because I did a 21 Pilots.
I was going to say, 21 Pilots is pretty close to acoustic rap.
And Ride, it does kind of have a rap element to it, so I guess I have to recant my statement.
But you avoided country?
Oh, yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
One genre I do not dive into.
Hey, all right, good guy. Yeah. I like this guy.
See, I told you, you know.
So do you ever record anything like at home or how's that work?
All the time, actually. I've got an audio interface, my mic, and I record quite a bit. I'm working on some original stuff to put up on YouTube ASAP.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you like write your own music or anything like that?
I try. Like I write instrumental stuff all the time and it's like it's begging for lyrics, but I'm a terrible lyricist. So.
Who are some of your favorite musicians?
Well, my favorite band is Thrice. Like for the longest time, I didn't have a band, a favorite because, I liked a lot of stuff and I still do, but I love them quite a bit. I'm a big fan of a lot of instrumental stuff like Joe Satriani or a group called Sean. I lean much more towards like Christian hard rock and metal, but I kind of dive into some other stuff as well.
That's more of slightly more into Noah's territory.
So what was your favorite song off of, what's the album, the new one,
To Be Everywhere To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere?
Yes.
Hurricane is definitely my favorite off that album.
Okay, but, hang on, let's stop right there. Why are there so many hurricanes in Christian music?
Need to add that to my hurricane playlist. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it.
Can we not come up with another metaphor besides hurricane?
Technically, like Thrice is like a secular band, but like the singer's Christian, and it comes out in a lot of like metaphors.
Yeah, it just seems like if you're a Christian artist, you have to have at least one song that mentions hurricanes. It's just
like Switchfoot has Hello Hurricane.
Yeah.
I think a band called Sing State had Hurricane. Did The Fray have a song about a hurricane?
Yeah, I was going to say, the Fray has my favorite song called Hurricane.
That's just, it's just weird. All right, sorry, I probably broke your train of thought there, but...
I was thinking about that just the other day.
where were you going with that before I interrupted you?
He was giving us his favorite song.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah, off that album, and The Long Defeat's a really good one as well.
I've listened to it. The only song that really made an impression on me was Black Honey.
I do love Black Connie. Like, when that album came out, like, I found out about the band as soon as they were breaking up. Like, they were on their farewell tour back in 2011. And then, so I waited in, like, for a couple of years, just hoping they'd get back together. So I was super hyped for that album. And it was, like, on repeat in my car for months. So I've had some time to really, like, dive into it.
So what was your second favorite album of last year?
I'm going to have to go with Colors from House of Heroes.
Yeah, I like that one. That was actually, I think, my number two, too.
But what was your number one?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
we talked about this on the podcast.
You had Paper Route.
Yeah, you're right. I had Paper Route at number one. House of Heroes was number two.
Is Paper Route a band?
Yes.
I will check them out.
All right, so before we move on, let's have a quick word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Frankie from Frankie's Refried French Fries. And I know what your brain was saying. It was saying, but French fries are not French. But, oh, no. Think again. French fries are as French as, say, Eiffel Tower, which, to be fair, was inspired by an American tower. But whatever. Anyway, if you are like me, you hate to eat a soggy, cold, wimpy little French fry. But Frankie's Refried French Fries are the crispiest French fries on this side of the Loire. That's the Mississippi of France. And we owe it all to the three R's. Reduce, reuse, refry. So, try Frankie's Refried French Fries today. And remember, if you can refry a bean, you can refry a potato. Thank you.
So, Kayla, are we going to talk about our weeks?
So, yeah, guys, what's y'all been doing this week? We heard a little bit about Corey, about what he's been doing this week. Seth, what have you been doing? Oh, I know. Guess what? This podcast is not the only thing in this room that turned 20 this week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Seth, you turned 20 this week. Tell us about your birthday.
Yeah, so this is a pretty awesome podcast coincidence that we are on episode 20 and I turned 20. So I'm, you know, it's pretty sure that's like a good omen or something like that. So what did I do for my birthday? Oh yeah, I went to church because my birthday was on a Sunday.
And then we went and played football with one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't, we tried to get enough people to play a game of football, but it was only three of us. So it didn't really work.
And the ball was overinflated.
Man, I tell you, kicking that football was like kicking a rock.
And catching it too. It hurt.
So instead we had cone kicking competitions.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
We took orange cones and we kicked them because why not? You know, when there's only three people, you have to invent your own game. So we invented cone kicking competition.
Yeah.
For the record, I was really bad at it. Seth was definitely the best.
I was going to say I was the best. Of course, we also kind of figured out it depended on which cone you used. Even though they all looked identical, they had different distances.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a sport that I think needs some practice, maybe. It'll take off eventually.
Hey,
it'll take off eventually.
I'm going to go to the Olympics in this thing. Just you wait.
There'll be like specific cones that you have to go buy, and each cone will be like $40, you know, because there'll be brand name cones. Like Spalding will have their brand. Yeah.
Nike.
Yeah. Nike cone kicking cleats. Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen. Hey, Noah, what you been doing lately?
I read a lot of stuff about the HCSB last night, or actually it's the CSB now, but just about the changing of the two translations.
So tell us about that.
Well, the Bible translation, the HCSB, is getting an update and they're dropping the H from it. So it's now going to be the CSB, and they made some various changes. I'm not crazy about all of them, but it'll bring it in line with pretty much all the other Bible translations, so it'll be very, very similar to like the NIV and the CEB.
that's kind of disappointing, because now it's like, why do we even have another translation if it's just going to be identical to the rest of them?
Because Lifeway can sell it.
Yep.
Yep. Ooh. Hey, Corey, what's your favorite Bible translation?
I'm actually a Holman Christian Standard fan.
Hey, that's
what I read.
That's fun, because that's
what we like.
Yeah.
It's easy to read, but it's not watered down.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that's kind of why we're disappointed that they're changing it. Not so much because it's like necessarily wrong and there's value in those changes. It's just that we kind of already have that in other translations. Right, so.
I mean, there's so many as it is. I mean,
yeah.
And so many of them don't stand out from each other. So just making it like all the rest is a terrible decision, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, of the five major changes they're making, there's only one that I'm actually kind of upset about. Like,
what's that?
They're going to start using more gender inclusive language.
Yeah,
because that was one of the few things that kind of set it apart from all the other translations, is it was still one of the few that was fairly, actually pretty close to using the correct gender language, and now it's going more the direction that, like, the NIV 2011 did.
Can you explain further on what you mean by that?
Basically, it comes down to when there is a possibility that you could translate it in a way that wouldn't, where it's not intended to refer especially to males, then they translate it in a way that will include females. So, like, in the book of Acts, if it says that he was talking to the brothers, then it would translate it, he was talking to the brothers and sisters, because the context would imply that there was more than just men there.
Okay.
Even though the translation would be more correctly just left as brothers, and that's why that's the way it's traditionally been translated.
So they're basically just trying to add extra reference and detail to it that's kind of unnecessary.
I feel like it's kind of unnecessary. Yeah. And they're not like going over the top with it. I mean,
this is such a homeschooler conversation. Let's talk about homeschooling, because I've begun to realize that the homeschool subculture is much deeper than I realized, because if you can detect somebody as a homeschooler based on their best type of French fry, then obviously there's something going on here. Anyway, homeschooling has a very interesting subculture. Are you by chance familiar with Blimey Cow?
I love Blimey Cow.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you, man, it's
Adventures in Odyssey.
I listened to a little bit of that as a kid, but not as much as a lot of other homeschoolers.
At least familiar then.
See, what else is like totally you homeschooler? I mean, Narnia, Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was a huge Star Wars kid.
By the way, for everybody listening, Blimey Cow is a YouTube channel run by a couple of homeschool brothers. It's got a lot of, like, inside homeschool jokes, but also does just kind of commentary on current events and stuff, too. But, it's really funny the way, like, you can pick out homeschoolers and make assumptions about them.
Okay. Next question, though. Princess Bride. Uh-huh.
I love The Princess Bride.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Homeschoolers are so predictable. It's amazing.
Anyway. I just wonder if we just take random people, though, and ask them if they like The Princess Bride, if we would get a yes.
Oh, probably.
That one's not it's not exclusive to homeschool culture, it's very prevalent.
Yeah.
I think if you're a homeschooler, you know, of our age, it's very likely you've seen it.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder what the homeschool subculture that, like, is happening now. What will those people, like, in 10 years be like, oh, yeah, every homeschooler kid knows that. Well, I mean, like, Minecraft.
Blimey Cow.
In one of Blimey Cow's videos, they talked about, like, kind of, like, poking fun at the homeschoolers who run Minecraft servers. And I couldn't be mad, because I was one of them.
Because, I don't know, when I, like, 10 years ago, when I was a homeschooler, the big thing was, like, every homeschooler had a blog. Like, every single one. And I just wonder, like, 10 years from now, what will that be?
Podcasts.
Yeah. No, I don't think so, because that'll still be our generation. What'll be the 10 years from now generation? You know, 10 years younger. What will they have? They be, you know, I guess, I mean, Minecraft's the first thing that pops into my head, but I don't know.
Minecraft's already, though, that, like, 5-6 year
down
generation.
So probably, Instagrams, homeschooling Instagram?
You know, I don't know about that. I think a lot of homeschool families are, they're skeptical about giving their kids social media when they're like young.
That's true.
What are homeschoolers doing now? Like almost Jacob's age, Jake Ivey.
Minecraft.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just a year out of high school, but I still feel very disconnected with today's youth. So I have.
It's because you're homeschooled.
I always felt disconnected with today's youth, even when I was one. So, you know, whatever.
But like, I lead worship for the youth group at my church on Wednesdays that I'm not working. And like, I love those kids so much, but I feel like I have barely anything in common with them due to that. Even though there's not a big age gap. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like an old man.
Yeah, I kind of understand.
I don't know. I always felt like that even when I was like in junior high. So it's all good.
But I mean, like, no offense to any like public schoolers who are listening, but like, it seems to me that homeschoolers had like a higher maturity in certain ways.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, and some others, like, maybe not.
I mean, not to be like, you know, looking down our nose at other people, but yeah, we know what you're talking about.
There were certain like social maturities that were there, but then there are certain others I feel like homeschoolers have lacked, including myself.
Which is kind of ironic, because it's like, Tim Hawkins has some good bits about homeschooling. It's like, why? Well, you can't be homeschooled. You'll have you won't be good at social stuff. And then Tim Hawkins is like, well, what about all the kids who go to public school and have social troubles? What's their excuse?
You know? Actually, that was Blimey Cow, I think.
Oh, well, it's probably the same joke, but
yeah, some of that stuff crosses over.
Yeah, it's that homeschool subculture. I think it just comes and goes. So,
yeah, but homeschoolers, we get to go and interact with people at Walmart during the day.
See, I do that for a living at a grocery store. And so, I do not count that as a perk, please.
Okay.
Here's the thing that I think is
funny.
Wait,
hold on. You work at a grocery store?
I do.
Yes. That was my dream, was to always work at a grocery store.
Why haven't you, you done it?
Seth, you've failed at life. All you've become is a public servant.
Now you're too old to work at a grocery store. You're 20.
We're hiring right now if you're looking for a job.
Here's what I think is funny about homeschoolers is that people who haven't ever been around homeschoolers don't understand like homeschool subculture. Like they don't realize that it's a thing. Like they don't understand that within people who like were homeschooled mostly, you know, for many years, like their whole life, that they don't even understand that there is a subculture there at all. And then when they realize that there is, it just like, they don't understand it. So it's really weird.
How many times did y'all ever get the question, you know, you're homeschooled, but like, what about homework?
Yeah. It's like, wow, never heard that one before, but I'm
sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a blind cow.
What'd you say? Sorry.
Did you take your sister to prom?
Yeah. I think now we're just ripping off Blimey Cow jokes, but anyway,
I guess we are.
Jokes on you! I don't have a sister.
Yeah, I didn't. So
I do.
It was a really lonely prom. Oh, yeah,
I have a sister, but there was no prom. I just want everybody to know that.
Yeah, yeah. And then when people find out that there's such a thing as a homeschool prom at all, that really blows their mind.
Okay, did you go to the homeschool graduation?
I did. The one up at Harding.
I don't know where it's at. I didn't go.
Yeah.
they've got two. I think one's up in Conway, and then there's another in Harding at Searcy, and my sister and I attended the Harding one.
It was good
fun. I enjoyed it.
I have never been to a graduation in my life.
Wait, like any at all?
No, never.
I haven't either. I skipped my high school graduation and both of my college graduations.
Yeah. Yeah, like, me too.
I mean, I've attended a bunch for friends, and like, mine was the only one I really enjoyed.
That's a fair point.
I'm surprised enjoyed that one, but anyway.
Like, I enjoyed it other than the long wait, because I was there like all day and I was starving. But
I'm curious, how big is the homeschool graduation?
This year, I think at Harding, I think we had, I want to say 93.
Wow.
That's a pretty, yeah, I mean, it's not huge, but it's 93 homeschoolers. Like, so,
and half of them didn't show up. Find out.
Yeah. I only knew one or two of them, or my sister knew one. My sister went to public school for 2 weeks and then resumed homeschooling, and she knew one of them.
Yeah,
public schooler. I'll never think of her the same.
Once you're tainted by public schooling, you're done. I mean, that's it. You've been tainted. Yeah.
She remained her homeschooler self. I mean, it was 2 weeks. I mean, what are we now? We're in college, though. So are we? We're still homeschoolers, even if we're in college, right?
Yeah, yes.
It's true.
It's funny. I'm 23, and I still call myself a homeschooler. And I haven't been in high school since, you know, in 5 years.
When I told my coworkers I've been homeschooled, I'm pretty sure their first response was, well, that explains a lot.
And yeah. It is weird, though, because, like, I don't know. That is, like, one of the – if you were to, like, put – you know, labels on people. That is like, for homeschoolers, that's like one of the number one things, you know. I don't know. It's weird.
Still pretty descriptive. But.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if I call myself a homeschooler, it does. It explains a lot to people.
It's part of your identity.
It is. Yeah.
It is, but it also, it doesn't fit all the stereotypes, because I've met like every type of homeschooler, you know, like some you wouldn't really, some, you know just by looking at them, and then some that you wouldn't. And like, yeah. y'all have to do the standardized testing, you know, the Iowa benchmark.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awful.
There is every bad stereotype there.
Yeah. It's like the kid who
was one of them.
It's like the really dorky kids, and then like the kids who are only homeschooled because their parents couldn't keep them in public school, and then the other kids who are only homeschooled by name and actually don't go to school at all. And, you know, just yeah, all these... the emo homeschooler who's like, I don't even know how he's homeschooled at all. It's just,
you might have like, yeah, you might have some far left homeschoolers, kind of like the Blind McCow thing. And then I saw a lot of like really, really far right.
Yeah. Like the homeschool family who unloads a 15 passenger van.
Yeah.
And then the preacher's kid homeschooler. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on, but it's true. It's funny that even within the subculture of homeschooling, that there's so many like different types.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So thinking about the Iowa test,
not talk about that.
Oh, I just want to say one thing. Did you just memorize the test from the year before? Because it was always the same.
I remembered some questions here and there. Like, I feel like there might have been something about like a story about the comic Blondie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I totally remember that from like Jackie 10 Robinson. Years ago.
There was one story about a girl named Bucky, and I thought that was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, you just remember that one thing.
Yeah, I was not smart enough to remember the questions and stuff.
Okay, maybe not the questions, but it was like for the reading part or whatever. It was always the same. Like yeah. Blondie and Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true, because I totally remember the same thing about Blondie and about it. Yeah, specifically about how she was a homemaker.
Yeah, and then she got a job, and it was like a revolutionary thing.
And then she was a homemaker. That was her job. And I'm like, well, that's such a letdown. What's this all about? Homemaker's not even a job. What is it?
And then in the science, there was always something about bees.
I don't remember that part. Yep.
I remember something about the ant.
I remember something about the stink bug. No, I have no idea. I don't remember. Oh, good stuff. Hey,
poor kids today don't get to have fun experience.
That's a shame.
Yeah, the homeschoolers not take the Iowa anymore?
No, they are no longer exempt from taking standardized tests.
Wait, no longer exempt?
They're no longer required. Now they are exempt from taking standardized tests.
I don't quite understand, even as a homeschooler. I mean, like, I thought that was one of the few things that they could do to, you know, prevent the bad stereotype I mentioned earlier of the kids who are homeschoolers only by name.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess what happened was eventually they're like, you know what? These homeschoolers are doing just fine on their own. We'll just let them do their thing, you know?
Yeah, but it's like the whole testing, it didn't mean anything.
Right. Here's what was happening. The homeschoolers were showing the public schools up, and so the state was like, well, we got to stop this. Or we're going to look bad. That's my theory anyway.
Actually, I honestly feel like that has a lot more truth to it than it should.
it is pretty true, man. I actually would be really interested to see how the homeschoolers test scores compare on standardized testing compared to public
schoolers.
From what I've
heard, they're generally better, I think. I mean, I'm not stating this as fact for all the listeners, but I feel like I've heard that they're generally higher.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, spread propaganda. It's all good.
I would say it's fact, and if it's not, prove me wrong.
That's such a homeschooler thing to say, too.
You know, I'm pretty sure you just summed up the internet, though. I'm right, and if not, prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's like, well, here's the thing. It's like, if you go to the internet, you'll probably find whatever you want. You know, if you type in, are homeschoolers better than public schoolers, you'll probably find information that says you are, and probably vice versa. So, that's the internet.
But then if someone proves you wrong, you know, the internet is home of the ad hominem, you know, where they attack you instead of your argument.
Yeah.
That's the internet.
Homeschoolers can't be smarter than public schoolers. They have funny clothes.
Oh, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, or no. They have lots of brothers and sisters. They can't be smart. I don't know. Yeah, just some dumb, something dumb like that. Okay.
Yeah, we were talked about logic in World Lit 2 today, and about a modest proposal.
Oh yeah. By
Jonathan Swift.
Swift.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. That's a very interesting piece of literature.
That is a just even it's disgusting. Satirical. It's entirely disgusting.
I had to write a paper that was similar. I had to write a proposal paper, and that was probably one of my favorite papers I ever wrote. What I wrote my paper on is I was proposing that we should enslave fat people. clearly, I just want to state from the beginning that this is satire. I never meant that in intention, you know, realistically.
Sure.
But yeah, my thought was, hey, we have a lot of people who are fat and, you know, clogging up the system. And so let's take all that unused energy, you know, potential energy, and transform it into, you know, real energy. And so we take all the fat people, we make them work. They lose the weight, we gain the benefits. It makes so much sense.
We all win.
Yeah.
I always liked Rat's proposal of let's just, you know, we want to get out of debt. We should just tax all the stupid people. They'll be too stupid to realize what's going on.
Wow. So
I wouldn't be surprised if that's going on now.
That actually is already happening, Seth.
It's called the lottery.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Corey, we mentioned a few things already, but tell us, what are some of your favorite TV and movies?
Well, let's see. I don't watch a lot of movies as like a lot of people do. Like, I'll name something and people are like, what? You haven't seen, you know, insert movie here.
Oh yeah.
But
that's another trait of like homeschoolers, that what you haven't done or seen or watched blank.
Yeah. Most of them being of the R-rated category.
Right.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Everybody was talking about Deadpool, you know, when it came out, I didn't see it.
Yeah, sorry. I don't really want to expose myself to that. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. As far as TV goes, I mean, I grew up with SpongeBob, which is kind of controversial among homeschool culture. You know.
Oh yeah.
You watch SpongeBob?
I know. I'm a
liberal homeschooler.
I'm a what? Heathen, but like.
Oh, but okay. We were even worse though. We grew up watching The Simpsons. I mean, that's like that is literally like. That is homeschool taboo, right?
Yeah, but that's where I got all of my social knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, SpongeBob, The Simpsons, not that different. Really.
You learned all your social skills from the streets of Springfield. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. My pop culture and you know,
it's actually entirely true. It's amazing how much we learned about culture based on The Simpsons.
That's funny. But
I really love
Parks and Rec and The Office. I used to watch a lot of The Walking Dead, but I kind of since after the new season, it was too brutal for my taste. So I just kind of,
oh yeah,
it was a rough one. With movies, Star Wars ranks above everything else. I'm a Star Wars guy. I love a lot of goofy comedies like, Napoleon Dynamite is one of my favorites. What else do I like? I like Batman.
Batman.
Lego Batman.
I cannot wait for Lego Batman.
Lego Batman, yeah.
Hey, if you want to drive to Benton, you can come watch it with me.
Oh, for sure.
We should do that. We should all go watch the movie. That'd be fun. Actually, I have a topic I wanted to ask you guys while we're thinking about it. Okay, so here's the thing. This is on the phone. I was thinking about this. Am I the only one who feels weird saying bye at the end of a phone call?
It depends on who it's with. I mean, like, if you're talking to tech support, it's always weird because they're never going to say it first.
Yeah. I don't.
For me, every time I do that, there's this awkward silence and I don't ever know what to say. And so it's the worst thing.
I don't know. I just feel weird saying bye because it's like, I don't know. It's something I don't even know if I would say in person, but you have to end a phone call somehow. So I don't know. What do you think, Seth?
I have no idea because I don't ever talk on the phone.
I mean, when I
called Corey earlier for our test call, That's like the first person I've talked to on the phone all year.
Noah, let me get you to weigh in on this.
It's kind of awkward, but it's more awkward not to.
I don't know, man. I just feel like, especially if I'm talking to another guy and I'm like, bye-bye, that just feels weird. I mean,
it depends on what you, like, who you're talking to. I mean, like, if you end every phone call with, I love you, then it's going to be pretty awkward.
Yeah. I've got to where I almost never say bye at the end of a phone call. I might say something like, all right, talk to you later.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But
how about we just end it with Roger now?
Yeah, Roger that, 10-4. I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about because I wondered if I'm the only person who does that, who feels awkward that way. Maybe not. I don't know. All right, so let's wrap this episode up. Noah, would you like to give us any advice before we leave?
If you're trying to record a phone call for a podcast, start 3 hours early.
3 hours later, we find out that it was a bad cable.
So here's your SpongeBob reference. 3 hours later. Anyway. Yeah. I only get it because I see it on Blimey Cow sometimes. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The only SpongeBob I ever watched was when we were on vacation and we were in a hotel room.
Actually, I hear the kids at youth group say that all the time. So it's funny. Anyway. Corey, do you have any final words or advice for our listeners?
Let's see. Well, word of advice, it's hard to beat Chick-fil-A's waffle fries.
Yep. Yep. True that.
And homeschool your children. It's better. They'll be smarter.
They'll turn out just like us.
And have a podcast.
Okay. Seth, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Yeah. So if you're going to your World Lit class and you print off the papers that are required for the day, don't leave them on your desk and forget your binder.
Oh, no.
And show up to class where you're doing a project on this paper and don't have your paper.
Don't do that.
Yeah, just don't do it.
I mean, I was going to, but you've ruined my plans. Thanks, Seth.
That's such a homeschooler mistake.
I like how universal all of our advice is. Like, these are tips that pretty much anybody could use.
And so I realized it actually before our class started. We're like, we want to actually use it, you know. So I was just being a good student and all that. And then I checked my phone like 5 minutes before class starts, and I realized my instructor sent an email that said, bring your paper to class. I was like, oh, shoot. So I ran upstairs and turned on the computer and printed it off. Although the computers upstairs in the lab, in the computer room, are really, really slow.
I don't like them.
I don't either.
They're probably the same computers from when I was there and maybe when Noah was there. So
the ones in the library are better.
Yeah, if the computer has been on, it's okay. But if you're having to actually turn it on, just go to the library. It'll be faster to walk over there.
All right, everybody. One final piece of advice. Say it with me, guys.
Stay safe. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, that was actually pretty good.
Hey, you did better than Noah. He didn't even try.
Noah, why don't you ever give that advice?
Yeah, it's getting old.
No, it's our tagline.
Yeah, but then the world's not as interesting when people are safe without not being stupid.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, YouTube wouldn't exist if people followed our advice.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been a great episode. Thanks to our very special guest, Mr. Corey. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for having me.
Corey, where can we find you online? Is there any special places online that you are interested in?
YouTube is a good name, 22. Then, you know, Twitter was _22. You can find me on Instagram at Corey.Shane. And Facebook at a good name, 22.
Awesome.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah. It's for good name, 22. I haven't been able to upload since May because life has been hectic.
May. You know that was like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, it was when the Thrice album came out, and I haven't been able to upload since because having a job and being in college takes up a lot of your time.
He's listened to the Thrice album nonstop since last May.
Yeah, Like, I mean, I've grown out this beard. I haven't bathed in months because that album is just.
That's
great. I might miss my favorite part every time, and I can't miss it.
All right, so on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode. Join us again next week when we will talk to you later. Bye, everybody. This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.